Hello, how you doing? Welcome to season 3, episode 6 of Be Bougie, Be True, Be You. I'm Charlotte Jones. I hope you're having a good week so far. I mean, I am, because today is the last day at work before going off to Disney World for the next 2 weeks. So I am absolutely flying high right now. I have done the last email for the next 2 weeks. All that's left to do is manically run around the house, check I've packed everything, check that I haven't left anything on, and make sure that everything is good to go. And then I am in holiday mode. But before I go, I have got such a good episode for you today. Honestly, I am so grateful because I sat down with Linda Stretton, and you'll hear through the episode how I met Linda and why I started working with her and what I got, because I ended up learning and getting so much more from her than I initially thought. I went in with one specific issue and ended up dealing with about 6 or 7 issues in all the right ways. So it was incredible. In this episode, I chat to Linda about how she manages to run a successful business alongside having a fulfilling and happy marriage and dedicating time to her family. Because this is something that anybody who has a job with any form of pressure, whether that's long hours, whether that's multiple roles, whether that's working 2 or 3 jobs, whether that's having a side hustle alongside a corporate job or another job, we all know and have felt that struggle at one point or another, where we want to make sure we're spending time with our children, with our partners, but we don't want our business to slip, but we don't want our relationships to suffer. And sometimes it can feel very overwhelming trying to make that juggle. And Linda was the perfect person to speak to because she has a very successful business and a very happy marriage. But before Linda and I started talking about that, I did want to pick her brains for just a few minutes about women's hormone health. And this is because that is the reason I went to work with Linda in the first place, which you will hear all about in the episode. And very quickly, once I started working with her, I realized just how little I knew about my body and how my body was functioning. And actually, in a lot of ways, how badly it was functioning, because I didn't know how to treat my body to balance my hormones, to make sure that they were regulating in a healthy, constructive way so that I could have a better life, a pain-free life, a more energetic life, a less mood swing life, if that makes sense. And I've got such a bee in my bonnet now about wanting to raise awareness for women to realize that there is so much we can do. We don't have to suffer with period pains. We don't have to suffer with these mood swings and feeling like we're only capable maybe 1 week out of the month and the rest of the time feel like we're really struggling. So I thought we'd talk about it for maybe 5 minutes or so, but Linda was brilliant and she spoke about it for a good 15, 20 minutes. So if there is anything around hormone health that you would like to know, hopefully you'll hear it in this episode, but if not, you know you can head to her social media and find out more there. Linda Stretton is a transformational healer and new paradigm business coach and mentor to high-achieving women. A recovered burnt-out workaholic and perfectionist, Linda is on a mission to help high-achieving women create epic wealth without losing their health. Fusing her unique blend of nutritional therapy, feminine energetics, breathwork and embodiment, mindset and manifestation, human design, astrology, with 20 years of high-performance business and marketing strategy, Linda helps high-achieving female leaders heal their bodies, break through unhealthy and destructive patterns, and build their self-worth and confidence to create wild abundance without the burnout. Linda is also a brand and marketing strategist for forward-thinking corporate businesses, women's health expert, and inspirational public speaker. Now, there are many ways you can work with Linda, and all the details are in the show notes for this episode. But I do just want to say she has very kindly shared a discount code for you. So there are 2 programs you can use this on. The first one is Fast Track Your Fertility. If you use code Charlotte to save 50% on both the pay in full and payment plan options. And again, if you use Charlotte on her Supercharged Energy Demystified program, that will save you 20%, and it's a 21-day program. And I can honestly say that the Fast Track Your Fertility program is so beneficial. You will get so much from it, even if you're not trying for a baby right now, or that's just not something that you're interested in, but you want to learn about your hormones, because a healthy body is a fertile body. And that is something I've learned from Linda, and it is a game changer. Let's start this week's episode. You're listening to Be Bougie, Be True, Be You with Charlotte Jones, the podcast to chat about a little bit of anything and everything. Welcome, Linda Stretton. Hello.
Hello, gorgeous. Thank you for having me. I'm so excited to be here.
I'm so excited to have you because we've got so much to talk about. And obviously, I was working with you for around 3 months earlier this year. And obviously, I discovered you back in 2020 through a podcast. It was Georgia Holidays podcast. And the way that you were talking, there was something about it. And you were so knowledgeable, but so you put it in such a human way around hormones and nutrition. And so I followed you and I was following you for about 2 years and I was taking all your content in. And I suffer quite badly with my hormones. And this year I was in a position to invest some money in that and explore that. So I reached out to you. And initially I was going to work with you just to see if I can fix my period pains and stuff like that. And we ended up working on so much more. But just before we move on to talking about career and managing that alongside your relationship, I just want to touch on hormone health and nutrition to get us started, because you have changed, and I don't mean to sound brown nosy or kissing your ass or anything like that, but you have honestly changed my life by changing my hormones, and they are so much more manageable now. So how important would you say, what's the difference it can make to a woman to learn about their hormones, and what positive impacts can it make by making these changes to their life?
I mean, there's so much we could say about this, but it's one of those things that always blows my mind that we're just not taught this at school. And women aren't taught to connect to and understand the signs and symptoms they're getting from their body. And I went on my own journey with this. So basically, without going too much into the story, I was anorexic from 19 to 24 and I lost my menstrual cycle as a result. And I didn't get it back and I just assumed anorexia had made me infertile and I was just never going to have a period, even though I was no longer anorexic. But what happened with time and studying nutrition, various degrees in nutrition now, I then started to realise actually I'd basically been burning myself out. So I replaced anorexia and that obsession with food and controlling that with becoming a workaholic and like working all the hours and never feeling good enough and always giving, doing all the time. And I was basically burning myself out. And I kind of had this moment when I sort of put all the pieces together and realized the reason I wasn't having periods wasn't because of the anorexia, because I was like a healthy weight at this point. It was because of my just constantly elevated cortisol and adrenaline levels that were basically telling the body the world isn't a safe place to bring a baby into right now. So we're going to shut down your reproductive system so you can't make a baby. Once I realized this, I started then making all these different changes, and it did include changing my diet as well, because I was orthorexic. So I wasn't anorexic anymore, but I was like had this obsession with being healthy. And when I look back at that now, some people think healthy is salads, low fat and all those different things, which is kind of was my perception, and obviously it isn't, because hormones are made from fat. So I changed my diet, I got my menstrual cycle back, and yeah, became fertile, had a baby, all different things. So anyway, so I've been on this journey with my hormones and menstrual cycle in that way, in terms of I lost my cycle. A lot of other people come to me with really heavy, painful periods. And I know that when you came to me, your period would start in the night and you had to get in the bath because it was that painful. And it was like painkillers every single month, have to get in the bath to relieve the pain, all different things. And I get this so often, like people just think, and I've done a post on this in the past, that I love the spiritual community. And as you know, I'm super, super spiritual, but I also worry that spirituality is normalizing period pain things, because so many people talk about when you get your bleed, you need to go into your cave and just like take a couple of days off and just like feel the pain and stuff. And I'm like, we shouldn't actually feel pain when we get our period. So yeah, it's so normalized, but we shouldn't really get it. And what I really love people to do is to get to a stage where their period just appears out of nowhere. And it's not this debilitating bleed where we have to curl up in bed and we've got all these painkillers, all these different things. And I actually, funnily enough, about a week and a half ago, had my first bleed in 567 days because I was pregnant and then had my baby. So I've been breastfeeding. So yeah, he turned 9. And that was earlier than with my first one. I didn't get my period back until about 14 months. But so this was 9 months. And it came completely unexpectedly, because again, I thought it was going to be longer, because it had been longer the first time. I was a bit teary, like I was a bit emotional in that week, and I thought, oh, what's going on with astrology, for example? But it came, and I thought, oh, it's going to be a super light bleed because I haven't bled for so long, and it's just my body re-normalizing to having a period. And it was like a really good bleed, like a really good amount of blood.
Yeah.
I bled fairly heavily for 3 days, zero pain. I was away for the weekend, didn't have to stop myself doing anything. Sorry, Charlotte, I'm like going off on one and probably not even answering your question.
But I was
thinking to myself in that moment, I'm 41 years old, having like one of the best bleeds of my life. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And again, this is another thing. So I launched my business to focus on burnout and helping high achieving women like recover from burnout. And it sort of pivoted into fertility because of my own journey with fertility. And as I talked about it, I had a lot of people give me invitations to help them with fertility. And as a projector in human design, like we respond to invitations and it felt good. And I ended up creating a fertility program, which is like looking at absolutely everything to do with what can possibly affect fertility, from the products we're putting on our skin to the reproductive microbiome and everything in between. It's a jam-packed, I gifted that to you as a one-to-one client, didn't I? So even though you weren't trying for a baby, it was like, this is called Fast Track Your Fertility, but this is a women's health program. This would help any woman, because a healthy body is a fertile body when we're premenopausal. Whether we want a baby or not, our body, the whole menstrual cycle, the whole point of it is to get the body ready to fertilize and implant an egg and then hold that in that uterine lining so that we can have babies and carry on our species. And so whether we want a baby or not, a healthy body is a fertile body. And we get so many indications from looking at the menstrual cycle of where our health is, because like I say, stress massively impacts our hormonal balance, because when our body thinks that the world isn't a safe place to bring into the baby, either because we're experiencing a lot of adrenaline throughout the day from drinking coffee, being on emails all day, getting stressed about money, you know, our boss sending us a rude email, all those different things, that all affects it. When we are probably going to do a whole podcast just on hormones now, just watch out, you have to wrap me in at some point. Yeah, I was about to say, so one thing that I look at with my clients is, you know, we're looking at the bleed itself, we're looking at pain, all those indications. We're also looking at the length of the luteal phase. So the menstrual cycle is made up of 4 phases. We have the bleed, we have the follicular phase, which is like the first half up to ovulation. We have ovulation, then we have what we call the luteal phase. The luteal phase is the phase at which we have ovulation. If we want to fall pregnant, you know, hopefully we fertilize that egg, it travels down and implants. Just that section of the cycle alone can tell us so much about our health, because that part of the cycle from ovulation until we get our next bleed should be 12 to 16 days. If it's less than 12 days, officially it's less than 10 days, is known as a luteal phase defect, but personally I think 11 days or less, that's classed as a short luteal phase. And that means that the fertilized egg wouldn't have enough time to travel down and implant into the uterine lining. And so we would sort of lose that fertilized egg. You know, it's sort of a form of miscarriage, but not really, because, you know, do you know what I mean? Like, you wouldn't know that was happening, but it would mean that. So people that, so many people come to me and it's like struggling with fertility. Well, first of all, they don't know if they ovulate. I'm like, do you ovulate every cycle? Well, I don't know. My app tells me. And people, people go off these apps, but they're not putting any information in that app other than when they got their bleed. So the app's guessing, it's making it all up. So firstly, we don't all ovulate at the same time. So there's multiple ways we can know if we ovulate. Maybe I'll come back to that, because I want to finish this point.
Yeah.
But yeah, so first of all, people don't know, even know if they're ovulate. And then if they're having this short luteal phase, what that indicates is they're not producing enough progesterone to maintain that uterine lining. Because the reason we get a bleed is the drop in progesterone sends the message for the uterine lining to go. And that's our bleed. Like, the uterine lining going is our bleed. So that in itself, those two things, do you even ovulate? Do you ovulate every single cycle? And have you got a long enough luteal phase? Are two really key factors, whether you want a baby or not, into our hormonal health. Because progesterone is our antidepressive, anti-anxiety. It's also a diuretic, so it helps like clear out excess water from the body. So if you get bloating, if you get like a puffy face, swollen ankles, that kind of thing, any puffiness, that can just be due to water retention, and progesterone helps us like move that water out. And it's also really important for our hair health. So when I get people coming going, oh, my hair's like forever falling out, yeah, it could be poor thyroid function. It could also be low progesterone. So if we get that short luteal phase, then we know we're not producing enough progesterone, because we know we're not holding that uterine lining in place. And that progesterone is dependent on our egg health. So healthy eggs, create healthy corpus luteums. The corpus luteum is what's left behind after the egg ovulates and moves out, and that corpus luteum turns into a like short-term endocrine gland that produces progesterone, and it maintains that uterine lining basically until other processes kick in when you're actually pregnant. So yeah, healthy egg creates healthy corpus luteum. We then get healthy progesterone production as long as we've not got chronic stress and getting these messages that it's not safe. And because even if we ovulate and then the body's getting chronic cortisol and adrenaline, it might be like, ah, now's not the right time. Let's not pump out that progesterone to the sort of highest degree that we can. So then you end up going, oh my God, Linda, you're blowing my mind. I don't even know where to start with this information you're giving me. I know, sorry, it's a lot. But then when people have a bad period, nobody knows that by working on egg health, that alone can then help the period. Yeah. Like people just teach hormone balance. It's like, oh, we need estrogen, progesterone balance, like balance your blood sugar. And that basically means eating three meals a day, protein, healthy fats in each meal and fiber, sorry, protein, healthy fats and fiber in each meal. So, you know, croissant for breakfast, a sandwich for lunch with barely anything in it, and then some pasta for tea is not good for balancing your blood sugar, yeah. for example. So, yeah. you know, it's balancing your blood sugar. So some people may teach that. I go way deeper, as you know.
Yeah.
Like I love depth because that's the basics. That's absolute basics. But if you've not got good quality eggs, I mean, firstly, if anyone's listening to this that has been struggling with fertility or wants to fall pregnant in the future, you need to work on your egg health. Absolutely need to work on your egg health. Because around 50%, but it could be up to 70% when we include unknown miscarriages, but 50% of pregnancy losses are due to chromosomal abnormalities in the egg or the sperm. And those abnormalities occur because of lots of things basically to do with that, with our environment. So something that we call oxidative stress, you know, chemicals in the environment, all these different things can damage our eggs. It's not a thing to do with age. I had my babies at 38 and 40, nearly 41. Sorry, 37 and 40. I always forget the ages. Yeah, 37 and 40. Yeah, and I conceived really easily both times, much to my husband's disappointment. It's not an age thing. People in their 20s could have poorer quality eggs if they are doing all the wrong things, filling their environment with chemicals, drinking loads, having lots of processed foods, all the different things, not having an antioxidant-rich diet, all the different things. So, yeah, I probably didn't even answer your question because I just went wild then.
You've actually given me so much more. I was just going to touch on it just before we move on to sort of talking more about work and work-life balance and relationships. But I'm so grateful because what you were saying there, it reminded me of my introductory session with you. And the only way I could describe it to my friends was, I feel like I've done 2 years worth of biology at school in that hour to 2 hour session. Because
you messaged me that, I remember.
Yeah, and I didn't know any of this. I was exactly the same as you described. I would just put in on my app when my period started and try and work things out from there. So I knew I had a regular period, but that was it. And I even went to the doctor because my period pains were for about 10 years where, like I said, this getting in the bath at 3 a.m. was just my life. It was just normal. And I'd normalized it. So I never really thought to explore it as such. I just assumed I was someone that had bad periods. And I went to the doctor and I remember she said, have you tried ibuprofen? And you almost feel not validated. Yeah. So you think, well, now I feel embarrassed because I'm not trying to make a scene. It's just, no, these are really, really painful. And I had just no idea. There was so much. And like you said, your fertility program that you gifted to me alongside everything we were doing and just learning so much about also, like you said, how women assume they're infertile or the older they get, the more they're nervous about that because they think it will decrease fertility. And there's just so much we're not taught around this. And I didn't even know how to tell I was ovulating when I came to work with you. Like, and that's just why I wanted to touch on it before we move to our main focus point, because I just wanted to raise that awareness. And if there is anything that anyone wants to know more about this, we'll obviously share Linda's Instagram and everything at the end of the episode, but just go check it out because there's so much there. And I'm so grateful because I just can't believe that, like, I have a period now that you described where it kind of turns up and I think, oh, okay. And it's just so different. It's so, so different. I might notice I feel a little bit sensitive, but I used to get full-blown mood swings. I used to be absolutely exhausted all the time. And all of that has just changed. And I think I remember as well, the most mind-blowing thing for me was about a month in of sticking to sort of the nutrition plan we created and also then the supplements, was that I'm an anxiety sufferer. And that means I'm used to that chatter in my brain always. Mm. Like, it's like a telly on in the background. That's how I describe it. And suddenly there was this period where I was like, I haven't got any That makes me sound a bit, I haven't got any voices, but there was no more anxiety voice in my head. It disappeared and I was so calm. And to have the energy levels, but to be so calm and not know that, to me, that just changed everything, because it changed everything I assumed I had to live with, everything I assumed was just normal and we just had to get on with it. And there is something that can be done. And thank you so much for sharing all of that, because hopefully there will be any women out there that are suffering in whichever way that might be, to do with your hormones, whether that's moods, heavy periods, no periods, there is something that you can do. And I just really wanted to raise awareness to that. So thank you.
Yeah. And just before I move on, I just want to connect that back to relationships, because this is obviously so, it impacts our relationships in so many different ways, depending on what you experience. So we all have genetic susceptibilities to different things. I have a genetic susceptibility to having low levels of hormones. So low progesterone, low estrogen. I really have to work to raise mine. Other people, you know, are the opposite, high estrogen. Whatever's going on, we're essentially experiencing hormonal imbalances. It means that the levels aren't where they should be. And so whatever we're experiencing, it impacts our partners. So like you say, with me, I was, you know, absolute workaholic, burning myself out. Hormones clearly not where they should be, because I wasn't even having a menstrual cycle. Mm. But then that affects your mood. Yeah, I could go on forever. I won't go too much into that detail. But it affects your mood, which then affects our partners, you know, and they end up feeling like they're walking on eggshells. You know, if you have really bad PMS, you know, so many people come to me, it's like, I have a terrible bleed, then I have 1 week where I feel okay, then I have 2 weeks of PMS, and it's like 1 week a month I'm okay. So many people come to me like, I'm horrible to my partner all the time, I scream at him, shout, I don't mean to do it, I just can't control like my emotions, I can't, and it's all linked to that. Or, you know, bring it back to fertility, you know, that fertility journey, the pressure on relationships. I'm constantly amazed by the stories I get told of people that come to work with me. Like, I have so much respect for the people going through fertility journeys who, you know, I had one client who'd had 14 miscarriages, who was just, you know, going again and again and again and again and again. And, you know, other people, you know, trying for 5 years, 3 rounds of IVF, you know, I just can't imagine what it'd be like to go through that. And the pressure on the relationships, because like, obviously the men are going through it as well. They're going through their own journey, but it isn't the same for a man as a woman of each month getting that two week wait and then getting their period.
Yeah.
Or another cycle and they haven't ovulated, so they can't even try. Like, there's so much pressure on their bodies. So obviously they feel really alone, because they're like, well, I talked to my partner, but he doesn't really understand what I'm going through. And of course he can't, because it's not his physical body. But at the same time, we don't know what they're going through, because they're still having their own grief. Even though it's not as present, they're not physically going through it. Each month they've got that disappointment. So yeah, just sorting out our hormones has a massive impact on our relationships. And so yeah, what I'll do, Charlotte, because I didn't expect us to talk about this, but what I'll do is I'll set you up a discount code for Fast Track Your Fertility. So, and you can pop it in the show notes for your listeners. So if anybody is like I say, don't be put off by the title. There's only one module. I think it's 10 modules. I can't remember off the top of my head. There's only one module that's really goes on and on and on about fertility, and that's the mindset module. And that's where we're working through like limiting beliefs and any fears around pregnancy, birth, motherhood, like anything that might be trapped in the body stopping us. But all like the nutrition health modules are just about creating a fertile body, a healthy body. Even if you're postmenopausal, it's all really great advice for menopause people as well. So yeah, if I do say so myself, it's a very good program, super detailed, because I do detail, as you can tell. But everything's got like workbooks, and so you can either listen or you can read the notes.
That's what I would do. So while I was working, I would have my headphones on and listen to the videos while I was working, just to take it in, to go alongside everything we were doing. And I can vouch for it. It's absolutely fascinating and it's so informative. I've never come across anything like it. And that's really kind of you. Thank you very much. I will ensure that I put that on the show notes. Okay, so moving on now to talking about work-life balance and relationships, because you were, as you sort of touched on briefly in sort of previous conversations, you were in the corporate world and you were a workaholic, and you were very successful in your career. But you've said that over time that sort of played a part in your relationship not being prioritized in the way that it maybe needed to be. So could you just talk to us a little bit about what you sort of, how your life used to be, how your work-life balance was while you're working in the corporate world, and the impact that did have on your relationship?
So I had no work-life balance, I would say. So as I say, so I kind of replaced this anorexia with orthorexia and like excessive working out, and then workaholism. And what happened, I mean, this went on for years, but what really happened towards the end was I'd studied nutrition back when I was 24. I'd gone back to study after my first degree. And for one reason or another, I didn't actually go into it as a full-time job. So I fell into this marketing career. It was incredible. Absolutely loved it. Loved my job so much. So much so, I was addicted to it. And I would, you know, I wouldn't be delegating to my team as much as I should. And I was, you know, working evenings, I was working weekends. And I sort of went into really senior positions really, really quickly in that career. So by the end, when we really hit, you know, rock bottom in our relationship, I was head of marketing for two different brands, managing a 45 million budget, managing teams across three different locations in about 15 agencies. Because I used to do everything from like TV advertising to PR to social media, like the whole mix. So I had 15 different agencies. So I was down in London, I was down in Essex where I had a team, I was down in like Leicestershire where I had a team, I live up in Manchester, and I was all over the place and stretching myself really thin. So I was doing that. At the same time, I decided to go back and study nutrition again, because it was about 10 years on from when I'd first graduated. And whilst I'd kept my toe in the water and kept like studying the background, I'd studied dietetics the first time and there were elements of it that didn't resonate with me. I actually went back to study what's called nutritional therapy, which is more holistic. It's much more about, it's called functional medicine. It's all about like root cause. It's like getting to the root and sort of saying, you know, if you have a symptom in one of the area of the body, it's coming from somewhere else. So it's like, if you had a rash on your arm, you might go to the doctor and they will give you a cream for the rash. But I would be going, okay, if you've got rash in your arm, that's either poor liver detoxification or some gut health issues, et cetera, et cetera. And I'd be working through to work out what the cause is. So I was studying this and it was a 3-year degree alongside this huge job and also this obsession with being thin. And so I would get up at 4:45 in the morning to do a workout before like being on the road at like 6:45, 7-ish. Sometimes it was earlier, depending on where I needed to travel to. And that was like 5 days a week. And then weekends, I was either at uni, so literally like 9 till 6, like super long days, or I was at home in my office all day studying. So it was like, it was 365 days a week for me. There was no on or off. It was like on all the time. And obviously what happened then was I was really happy in my life, so to speak, because I loved my job, I loved studying, I was getting my workouts in, but I had no time for my partner. And he just walked in one day and he's like, I literally feel like I'm your lowest priority. Everything comes before me. The cats come before me, you know, the workouts come before me, work comes before me, this course comes before you, all the different things. And like I say, at this point, I didn't have a menstrual cycle. I wasn't balanced in my hormones. I was living off adrenaline, living off, you know, stress. Just that was just driving me all the time. I had the worst symptoms. Actually, I should have talked about this before, but I, as well as having no menstrual cycle, I used to get terrible like brain fog. My nervous system was so wrecked at nighttime. I used to have to wear sunglasses in the pitch black because people's car lights used to blind me. I used to think that everyone had their full beam on and everyone was an idiot that they had the full beams on walking to go down the motorway, but it was because my nervous system is so wrecked. My pupils no longer like contracted and dilated the way they should. They were just letting way too much light in. I used to have these horrific night sweats where I'd literally have to get up and get changed in the night. The sheets would be completely drenched. And again, I used to like blame it on my husband emitting heat. I used to say, oh, you're so hot, you emit all this heat out. Like, oh my God, I was so naive to my own body. But yes, I was like studying all this and he just had this chat with me and he was just like I'm done. I can't go on like this. Like, I just feel so unloved. He's like, I know you love me, but you don't show it kind of thing.
Yeah.
And I actually decided at that point, well, to really prove to him that I did love him more than everything else. And I actually took a year out of studying my degree because I was like, I didn't realize what an impact I'd had for him. Because also think about love languages. I'm like, words of affirmation is my love language. So as long as I'm kind of getting that, I'm good.
Yeah.
But I discovered when I did that, you know, his is acts of service.
Right.
So obviously he wanted a wife that I'm not like saying she needs to do everything for me, but he did want like little things doing for him. And I just never ever, we'd come home and have a bowl of crunchy nut cornflakes for our tea. He'd been brought up by his grandma. So he'd, you know, cook breakfast in the morning, dinner at night, all the like amazing things that you get if you like grow up with your grandparents. So yeah, it was learning love languages was transformational for our relationship, I would say.
Absolutely.
But yeah. I decided to take that time out. And then it was taking that time out that really then basically completely shifted the trajectory of our lives, because taking that time out, getting a bit more of a work-life balance, having weekends, relaxing, all those different things, and actually really getting our relationship back on track, then deciding actually, having learnt so much about nutrition, like, oh, wonder if I could, you know, get my menstrual cycle back, wonder if we could have a baby. And I wasn't attached to having a baby, and I wasn't like, it was almost like, I don't think it's going to happen, so it'd be a bonus if it does.
Right, okay.
And then, yeah, and then I got my menstrual cycle back, and it was about, I think it was 9 months after, I think it took about a year to get menstrual cycle back, and about 9 months after my first ovulatory cycle, we decided to try for baby, we fell pregnant, and yeah, and then the story goes on from there, so.
Can I just ask, what I thought was really interesting there is, although, like you said, your husband, of course he was your top priority, you loved him, but you'd created such a full life for yourself that you were enjoying. What feelings did you notice when you did stop studying for a year, and when you decided, when you knew you had to make those changes, how did you feel? Because obviously you hadn't been spending as much time with him, but you knew he was there, so you knew you were in love. And I think we always talk about how the other person feels, but when you're the person that needs to make the changes to sort of reprioritize and have that shift, what did you feel for making that shift? How did that change for you?
It was interesting, actually, because I definitely took all the responsibility, which nobody really knew this was going on apart from my best friend.
Right.
And my best friend was very adamant, this two people in this relationship, you shouldn't be the one that has to, because I very much was like, right, I need to finish work, I need to go home, I need to make tea, I need to do this, I need to do it. I was kind of trying to rescue it.
Yeah.
And so I think I just went into survival mode in that mode. Do you know what I mean? It was like, I kind of thought, if nothing changes, I'm going to lose him. And we'd been on a really long, we'd separated for 18 months previously as well, and found ourselves back together. And then we'd been back together a year, and he proposed, and we were married within, I think, about 11 months of him proposing. So like, we got ourselves back on track really quickly. And so I knew, having had that time out before, he was my man. Like, I didn't want anybody else.
Yeah.
In that time apart, I didn't get with anyone else. I used to joke to people at work that I was the crazy cat lady because I had these two cats. I worked, I had my cats. I used to go out, get blind drunk, and take myself home at like 11 o'clock because I was so drunk. Like, it was a terrible lifestyle. But yeah, so I knew there was no one else for me, and I knew that I'd messed up. In summary, I knew I'd messed up. But I think I took a lot of that on myself, and other people would probably say that was the wrong thing and we should have been like more equal and both tried to put in the effort. But it just felt like the thing I needed to do. And I'm not saying that was forever. It was kind of like, you know, a good 2 to 3 months of like me almost like earning his trust back, like really making him feel, because I had no doubt, I guess him thinking I didn't love him, like, was a real like lightning bolt.
Yeah.
Whereas I knew he loved me. Do you know what I mean? Okay. So I think there was a big responsibility. So yeah, how did I feel? Really good question. I think I was just absolutely terrified. I was just terrified I was going to lose him. And I was just kind of doing everything I possibly could, I think. And I mean, this sounds ridiculous, but we never watched TV together. And one of the things we did, this is not relationship advice, take advice from Charlotte, but like, we bought a box set and started watching a box set together.
No, but I think that's a great idea. It's something that you get excited about together. So it creates conversations. And was it, what kind of, was it a drama? Was it a comedy?
We did, I feel like we did Prison Break first and then did Suits. And we were like so many years behind everyone else. Like, we never watch anything in real time. Yeah, but we like found this common thing that we both enjoyed and then watched it together. And that became like a commitment. It was like every evening we get on the sofa and like, you know, and cuddle up on the sofa and sometimes have a glass of wine as well. And just doing stuff that for us was like a date night.
Yeah.
Because we hadn't done anything like that for so long. So that was, yeah, just little things like that, that actually just actually being present in each other's lives made a really big difference.
But I think it's so common and it happens in so many relationships. And the other thing that I think was interesting is where you said you took all the responsibility, because I think that's really common for women to do. I think we feel we're more, whether it's more ingrained in us or whether it's a DNA in a woman type thing, but we feel we can fix it. We get much more proactive about, if there's a problem, what can I do to solve it? And I do think it's very easy for us to just do it automatically without thinking that we will take all the responsibility. And I suppose because your situation situation at that time, it was your time that was so full with so many other things, you could see, I know where I can make these changes. And it is, I think it's very much about ebbs and flows. So in that particular time, maybe it was you cutting back a bit so you could make more time for your relationship. And there would be times where equally he would need to do the same. And then that's how you create that. It's almost like that yin and yang picture, isn't it? You know, the sort of black and white circle where it sort of rotates.
Yeah, and actually, let's talk about this while you've brought this up. So yeah. It was only after we'd got on track, I'd had my kid. It was a couple of years later, I started working with a coach when I wanted to launch my business. And I worked with a male coach. I've told you all about this before, Sean.
Yeah.
I worked with this male coach and I wanted to work on launching my business, having the confidence to do it because I had like zero confidence and like this fear of being seen and imposter syndrome and all the different things that we all have. And he... forced me, in inverted commas, to work on my relationship with my partner. And what he opened, because he kept saying, Linda, business problems are personal problems wrapped up as business problems. So if, you know, you can't receive from your partner, if you can't communicate to your partner your needs, X, Y, Z, if you can't hold boundaries around your needs, these same things will come through in your business. If you can't receive from your partner, you're not going to be able to receive money from clients.
Right.
If you can't set clear boundaries with your partner about what you need and what you don't need, you won't do that with your clients. You'll burn yourself out and all these different things. And what he opened my eyes to is polarity, which I knew nothing about. And then that, honestly, that journey then led to me launching my first podcast, which was called Embrace Your Feminine Essence, because it changed my life. I was like, this masculine feminine polarity, I knew nothing about it. And for anyone who isn't aware, this isn't gendered. This is, we all hold masculine feminine energies within us, and we're all naturally one or the other. I'm naturally more masculine in my ways. But what was happening here is I was in my masculine all day at work, and then not having any kind of way of switching off. So I came home in my masculine. I was in this masculine. And what happens is we need polarity in the relationship. Otherwise, we butt heads. So if, as women, we're in our masculine, and obviously this is same-sex relationships, everything. One of the partners needs to be more masculine, one needs more femme. And they'll fluctuate over time. But if I was coming in work, like corporate, boss woman, you know, just been ruling the world all day, like high as a kite, loving life, came in that masculine energy, we were either going to butt heads or my partner had to go into his feminine.
Right.
So he would then go into this like more feminine. I am personally more attracted to masculine energy in a partner. So, and I didn't know this was going on, but I was forcing him to his feminine. I would then get frustrated because it felt like he wasn't making decisions. I had to make all the decisions. I had to do this, 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 you know, I had to plan everything. And it was like, well, you're forcing him into his feminine, so he's got no choice. And so what my coach really worked with me on was actually moving me into my feminine. Obviously, I'd left my corporate job by this point. I was launching my business. But even then, I was in my masculine so much, because what people don't realize is, as mothers, we think mothering is like the most feminine thing we'll ever do. Well, we're actually in our masculine energy all the time, because masculine is giving. Feminine is receiving.
Yeah.
So all day long, I was giving to my child. I was giving, 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 and, you know, cooking the meals. Like, I was giving all day, and I was really unable to receive. And it's something I've really had to work on with me. It's like receiving help, asking him for help, asking my mum for help, like asking for support, because I was trying to do too much. So yeah, polarity in relationship, so important. And again, learning that, super transformational.
It is. And I think what's really important is, if your relationship is going through any kind of phase where you feel you're not connecting, or you've drifted, or you're just in a bit of a down phase over and up, it's all these tiny things that if you can just bring awareness to by just having a little bit of an extra think. You don't have to dive really, really deep if this is not something you're used to or familiar with, but just trying to think about, how do I talk to my partner during the day? How are they talking to me? How am I responding? Who's making the decisions? And if you can check in with that, you'll be able to solve so much really, really quickly. And obviously, if you can do that with working with someone, they will draw your attention to that so much quicker. But I do think that's a really interesting point, because so many women struggle to accept help, and you would look at them as being in the mother role, so you would assume it to be feminine, but you're right, it's masculine. It's making all the decisions, it's deciding what they're going to feed, where they're going to go, what they're going to wear. So it's really, really hard. You're going to have to catch yourself and create a mental awareness around that to be able to switch and move into those different moods for depending on what situation you're in throughout the day.
Yeah, so some people may find, do you know what, because of working in fertility, I've ended up working with a lot of clients on this. So, you know, some tips that we could like give people while we're here is, you know, you may need a process of, you know, depending, you may be the more masculine in the relationship. There's nothing wrong with being in a relationship where the male is the more feminine, by the way. But if you have that dynamic where the guy wants to be the more masculine energy, and there obviously is going to be times when we need to hold them through more feminine and that kind of thing. But yeah,
of course.
Say you're similar to me and you're like very masculine and you need to consciously bring yourself into feminine. Having switch off routines when you get home can be really powerful. So it may be that you literally shower at the end of the day and you visualize like washing the day off, and then you get into more like, you know, you put some really beautiful organic body oil on and some essential oils and kind of get into that more feminine, you know, take all your makeup off, relax, put a flowy skirt on. I'm not saying you have to do these things, it's all about what's right for you.
Yeah.
But even like cooking puts us into flow state, so anything that we get into flow state gets us into our feminine. So, you know, having some music on and just like cooking, anything like switches us off as well can help. But yeah, having that kind of, you might like dim the lights, light some candles, I don't know, whatever it is for you, but consciously thinking about it, because over time it becomes a habit and then you don't have to think about it. But to start with, you may need to consciously try and tap out of one energy into the other so you can create that beautiful polarity for yourself and your partner. And it may be if you've got children that it has to happen after the kids have gone to bed.
Yeah.
And then it's like, now I switch into partner mode, I'm getting into my feminine so I can have this beautiful polarity in my relationship. And yeah.
And also, sometimes when people think if they're tired and they think, oh, do you know what, I'm just not in the mood, you will enjoy it. It's a bit like, and it's a bit like when someone says you never regret a workout. You know, when you, sometimes you can get in your head and think, oh, I really don't want to do it. But if you just go and do a 20-minute walk and come back, you will always feel better for it. And I do think it's one of those things where it's not about doing things for the sake of somebody else at the expense of yourself. It's actually for the benefit of yourself. You will feel better for doing it. Your relationship will feel better. And in turn, that will make you feel more fulfilled and that will make you feel happier. And it's about shifting how you think about doing these things as well, because when we're tired, it's so easy to just want to not do anything or just to stick in where we are because we're so used to being on that flow. But it will feel so much better if you can just pause for a second and make that shift. So talking about making that shift, obviously when you did start working on your own business, you know, there's that saying, old habits die hard. Did you find it hard to create a new way of living, because you would have got so used to working in the corporate world that even moving on to your business, you would have of course bought so many tips and things that you know that you needed to create a successful business. But how did you change it so that this business wasn't taking over your life and you were creating more of that work-life balance and flow?
Yeah, old habits really do. And I'd launched my business in the September. I went straight in to launching an online program. And it was fast-tracking fertility, and I was running it live and I was creating the content as I went, as well as seeing one-to-one clients. So I had a load of people that signed up for the VIP option, which was like, I saw them one-to-one, plus I was getting other people through that just wanted to work on hormones and guts and things like that. They weren't actually working on the fertility side, other one-to-one clients. And basically I was a full-time mum and I was running my business between naps. So I would see clients between like 7 and 9 a.m. before my husband would, and he'd go to work afterwards, and in the evenings, and then weekends. And then during nap times, I was like creating content, trying to build an Instagram account. Quite soon, I think it was only after 4 months, I launched my podcast. Like, there was so much going on. And I was just a workaholic again. I remember my husband saying to me, like, you're incapable, like, you're just like your dad, you're incapable of not like working all the time, which is quite funny because he's a Capricorn and he works all the time. However, if anyone's listening knows about human design, he's a generator in human design. I'm a projector, as are you, Charlotte, and we're not designed to work in that way. And that's something I've studied over the last sort of a couple of years as well. And it's something I work with a lot with my clients now that I'm a projector, I know. But yeah, it took me, I basically went all in, 4 months, completely burnt myself out. We were then thinking about having a second child, and I did a Dutch hormone test, which we did with you as well. And yeah, in that test, like, I knew my hormones were low because I knew my bleed was like super light and super short. It was only lasting about a day and a half and I barely needed to use anything. So I knew that was a sign of low estrogen, because estrogen like builds uterine lining. So if we've got a light bleed, it means we're not building it very much. Right. So I knew I had that, but I just wanted to check. And I did this and I realized that my cortisol was all over and I had high oxidative stress, and that one of the things that can come from is like sleep deprivation and stress. It can also come from chemicals, environment, different things. And I'd basically been co-sleeping with my baby for 2 years. He was a terrible feeder and he still used to feed like 5 times a night. And I don't even know if I answered your question. I'm getting off on one again. But anyway, yeah, I did this test. And that was a bit of a wake-up call, because I looked at that and I know oxidative stress damages eggs. So I knew I was about to turn 40 and I had this high oxidative stress and I knew I'd probably have chromosomal abnormalities. I'd probably either struggle to fall pregnant or potentially would miscarry. So that was a bit of a wake-up call for me because I was like, hang on, I've gone into my own business. I can have a work-life balance. I can be present with my kids. I can, you know, be there with my partner again. And I'm wrecking my health again. Like, I'm barely bleeding. I've got high oxidative stress. My adrenals are wrecked. So I actually had to learn some important lessons and change the way I was doing things. And at this point, I really started to get into astrology and human design. I wanted to study those more. And I'm not going to pretend it was like an overnight thing where I completely changed my habits. But I would say now, like about 18 months later from that point, no longer than that actually, probably about 20 months later, I'm in a completely different place. I'm working completely in alignment with being a projector. I have a much better work-life balance. I've done so much work on self-worth and confidence and all that different thing. I have way better boundaries in place because when I launched my business, it was like 24/7 access to me on WhatsApp. It was having an hour session, but doing an hour and 45 minutes. It was ridiculous the amount I was giving to my clients and not being paid what I was worth for that. Yeah. And then once we start to raise our standards, we raise our prices, we don't need to work with as many clients to make the same money. And as projectors, that's really, really important because, you know, we should be, sorry about going about human design, Charlotte, but, you know, we're paid for what we see, not what we do. We're there to help guide people's energy and get them places quicker. So that's one of our superpowers. So, you know, we need to like value that we have for ourselves and all the different things. So yeah, I, in short, did completely burn myself out. And I basically took about 3 months. So again, I should have said this, with your menstrual cycle, it takes around 90 days to mature an egg. It's about the same for a sperm as well. So anybody who wants to try for a baby, make sure you work with your partner's sperm for 90 days as well. But yeah, if you're having a lot of menstrual cycle problems, I always say work on your menstrual cycle for a good 3 months before expecting a change. Because the egg that we start to mature, you know, on day one is going to be the one that ovulates on day 90.
Right.
So like 3 months down the line. And it's that egg that then is going to produce the project that causes, you know, the healthy egg, healthy corpus luteum, healthy progesterone production. That's going to impact your whole cycle, your whole experience with, again, PMS, all the different things. Obviously, there's way more to it, but on a basic level. So yeah, I really took my foot off the pedal, cut back on clients, started to rest more, stopped co-sleeping my child, all the different things, and got my health on track before we then tried for a baby. And then, like I say, yeah, we fell pregnant straight away, much to my husband's dismay. And I had to slow down because once you fall pregnant, your progesterone increases and that really calms you, relaxes you, and you don't have that same kind of go, and you naturally slow down.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So what would you say, going back into your business after your second child, what was different from after having your first? Because obviously you've learned that you started your business, you fell pregnant, these habits weren't necessarily dying away. You've taken 18 months to go away and really learn about yourself, your human design, everything that you can use to enhance your life for the best way possible. What was different going into your business after your second child from all that?
Yeah, so funnily enough, I was intending to take at least 6 months, if not a year off after my second one. And I started seeing clients after 6 weeks and it wasn't intentional at all. I was getting invitations as a projector. I was responding to them, feeling good about them.
Yeah.
I had a much better experience the second time. You know, he fed better, he slept better, all the different things. I felt amazing. So I started seeing clients. And so I would say, honestly, aligning with my astrology, it's probably not the answer you're expecting or people listening are going to want to hear. But actually, I started working with an incredible astrologer as a business coach, and we really aligned my offerings with my gifts and what I'm here for, which is how the whole pivot back into business coaching. So I always business coached from when I first started. I used to work with nutritional therapists who were like, obviously, I had this huge marketing business background and I used to help people get off the ground. They're like, how did you get a business up and running so quickly? Like, how are you making it work? And I was like, well, I'll come teach you. So I actually started off a nutritional therapist and then sort of focusing on women in the wellness industry. So I was like working with meditation teachers, people who want to set retreats and stuff. And I had these sort of two businesses. So like the business coaching was like word of mouth, a bit on Facebook groups and stuff. And my Instagram was my women's health nutrition one. And I actually ended up basically merged it. Long story short, I merged it because there's a lot of codes in my business chart that basically say I'm here to help people make money, work on self-worth, and yeah, make a whole load of money. So I started merging and working with burnt out women who wanted to escape corporate and launch their business or turn their side hustle into a full-time job. Because that's the other, people get stuck in this side hustle thing. And it's like, before you know, it's 3 years down the line, they're still not making a full-time income. They're still just doing it. It's like, actually, have you got a business or have you got a hobby?
Yeah.
So just like really focusing on that and doing that, then started to call in like really aligned soulmate clients that I'm obsessed with working with, who feel like really easy to work with, who just light me up every time I'm in Voxer with them, talking to them, really having much better boundaries. So I used to, like I say, 24/7. Now it's like 5 days a week in Voxer, yeah. 9 till 5. Not trying to do all the things at once. So, you know, I've got a whole year of programs in my head that I want to launch around like launching business, money mindset, all the different things. And it's like not trying to do everything at once, which I would have done historically. It's at the moment I'm just focusing on my one-to-ones and that's it. Yeah, really, really living in line with being a projector. I mean, there's so much.
I think what's important there as well is that everything will get done. And I think when you are, I'm someone, I can fall into the habit of starting 5 different projects in one go. And then you're gonna, if you are trying to do that all the time, something's gonna slip. And not only are you gonna burn out, but you're not gonna be able to give the time and the creativity and the effort to each individual project. So if you just pause, step back and work out that maybe for this month, you're, like you said, you're gonna spend the next 6 months just doing one-to-one clients. And then in that time, you're creating and harnessing energy. And that's something that I did with this podcast, actually. I usually had a 2 to 3 month break before starting the next season. And while I was working with you, in my head, I kept being like, I'm gonna start next month, but I just knew that I was still in a new career, in a new job that I was focusing there. I was learning here and I just needed some downtime from the last 2 years. And I was like, it will happen. And now I feel like I'm doing the podcast from such a better place and energy that the podcast is going to benefit from that, because I'm in that place where I paused and I didn't just keep pushing ahead through burnout, through not feeling in that physical state of being ready yet. And I think you will get to do it. So all of those courses that you've just said over the next year that you do want to do, you know, you will do them, but there's no panic and rush to get it all done now. It's about maybe being more strategic and knowing that you don't need to worry, would you say?
Yeah. And when I launched my business, because I'd come from, you know, big budget omnichannel marketing, which basically means you're everywhere. When I launched, I thought that's what I needed to do. So I launched my business. So I launched my Instagram in like the June, and I spent 3 months building it up. And I was working with people free of charge, so to get reviews in and to really hone my 3 month program that I wanted to do. So yeah. I was sort of working. And then when I did launch, I launched with, like I say, with my program and straight in with the one-to-one clients. And I hired, the month I launched, and I hired a social media manager to work for me, and I tried to be everywhere. So I launched with Pinterest, Instagram, Facebook, email, and after 3 months I launched a podcast. And, you know, I thought I had to be everywhere because that's the background I'd come from in my, you know, big budget marketing career. And what happened was, you would think that hiring, because people say hire before you're ready, and I agree with that. You should hire before you feel ready.
Yeah.
But I hired too much too soon. And what happened was, for them to do the work, there was a certain amount of work I had to do. So I still had to write the content. It wasn't like they were going to create content for me. You know, that had to come from me. They were then making the creative for me. So I would write the copy, they'd do the creative, they'd do the posting, all the different things. But I was having to do a certain amount. And because I was paying them 5 days a week, you know, and I had to do approvals and stuff, like I had to do enough to give them to warrant paying them. And it was just way too much. And I was having to like do blog posts as well, because Pinterest would link to the blog. So I was having to write loads of blog posts. It was way too much too quickly. And that's something that I really love to work with my clients now on, like actually focusing on things that move the needle instead of feeling like you have to do absolutely everything. Because a lot of the bro marketing, a lot of the old paradigm marketing out there has got people being everywhere, doing everything. It's almost like you don't trust yourself. Yeah. It's like, I don't trust that building an Instagram is going to work, so I'm going to try and be everywhere.
Yes.
And it's actually like, what is your passion? So like both me and you, really great communicators. Yeah. You know, for us, podcast is probably potentially our number one channel. And off the back of that, yeah, Instagram is almost like a support because we're promoting our podcast on it.
Yeah.
But, and obviously I had to give loads more value on the podcast, on Instagram, but it's like, Instagram short form doesn't work for me. I could speak for hours, as you can tell everybody. And it's like, you know, I feel really restricted. So yeah, I use Instagram. I get a lot of clients through Instagram, but I need a place I can speak for hours, which is why, you know, podcast works really well. So yeah, anyway. So yeah, really finding the channels that align. And again, that that really links to our astrology as well, because my Mercury is in Taurus. So when you said right at the start, like my heart heard Mercury in Taurus, because that's like keeping it simple, really down to earth. It's like I have really complex information and I make it as simple as I possibly can for people, but I will give loads of information because it's also in the eighth house, which is depth. So yeah, I say a lot, but I'm not using big words or complicated things. I try and keep it simple as possible. But I also, you know, my MC, which is your reputation, what you're here to, your legacy, what you're here to be known for, that's in Gemini. That's the communicator. That is like podcast, podcast, podcast. That's communications. Yeah. My chart ruler is Mercury, you know, communication. So yeah, again, these little elements, our astrology can like give us these little tips of where we should go for the most powerful results.
I knew a little bit about astrology before working with you. And again, I'd heard of human design, but on a very, very light level, not much at all. And when we would discuss my human design and the projector, and when you would tell me, I'm going to say the word, is it Chiron? Chiron?
Yes, wounded healer.
Yes, yeah. And where you were saying why, and it made so much make sense for me. It connected so many dots as to why I get excited about the things I do, why I sometimes react the way I do to certain situations, if it's because I'm not really enjoying it, but I feel like I should be. And so much of what you said there makes sense. I actually got there's a human design app. And again, now I sometimes listen because it has made so much sense into the way that I apply myself day to day. And it almost, I used to feel guilty as well, because I do know I go through phases where I can feel like superwoman and get so much done. But I also go through phases where there are some days I can only focus on a few things and that's enough. And those days I used to torture myself and feel really guilty. And again, that can play out into a relationship. It's all that, everything's connected. I think that was something you were talking about earlier that's really important when you said what's in your work is in your relationship. I think every aspect of your life will be connected, and where you're showing up in one thing, you'll be showing up in all things the same way. And so I think that if you can get an understanding of how you work and how you operate, and whatever form that takes for you, astrology is huge, human design is huge, even if it's just going to see a therapist for a little bit and have conversations about yourself and get to know yourself, whatever level you feel suits you and is comfortable to you, it will make such a difference. And I've really felt it helped my confidence as well, because I understanding me working in those ways meant that I didn't feel I needed to over explain myself, because I understood. So when I understand, I don't need everybody else to understand.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's all about getting to know yourself better. That's what I kind of, yeah, it just makes you feel, yeah, it makes you feel like you're not crazy sometimes.
Exactly that. And actually, it's a slightly controversial question, but I think it ties in so well with everything we've been talking about today. You know the saying, women can have it all, or sometimes people say women can't have it all. What are your thoughts on that? Do you think they can? And if they can, how do you think they do that?
It's so funny. Do you know what? When I think my very first post I ever did, which I think I've archived now, said, I'm here to help women have it all. But I said, I really believe we can, but not if we are sacrificing our health for other things, because without health, we have nothing. So like we talked about right from the start, you know, when we are burning ourselves out, when our hormones are out of alignment, it's going to impact our relationships, it'll impact, you know, our libido, it'll impact the way we talk to partners, you know, all the different things. When we have low self-worth and we're, like we say, not charging our worth, we're overanalyzing what we do. You know, we worked on confidence together a lot, didn't we? Yeah. Like when we don't feel confidence in what we're doing, we're second questioning ourselves, then we're roaring all the time to burn ourselves off, XYZ. So I feel like we can have it all, but we need a hell of a lot of personal development work. We need to look after our health to do it. And because, you know, once we do all that, we have boundaries in place that I won't recap because I probably said all this before. But yeah, I think we can. I just think we need, I mean, life, business is the biggest personal development journey you'll ever go on. I'll just say that, because it brings up all of your wounds. And like you say, making sure we don't fall into old habits. Yeah. It's so important, so we don't burn ourselves out.
I think also, if you get yourself into a healthy, grounded place, when you having it all might take a different meaning for you. Because I think initially when you hear that, we assume that means that we want to work full-time in a certain type of career. We want to have so many children, live in a certain type of environment, but we could just be copying what we see around us in society. But if you can get yourself and get your hormones regulated and get yourself healthy and calm and grounded, that might not be what works for you, and having it all could look totally different. So I think it's also working out what that saying would mean to you and what you actually want as part of your all. Thank you so much for everything that you've shared today. And I know obviously through our conversation, we can hear that you work on so many different things, but what are you working on right now? What's your focus and what's really lighting you up?
Yeah, so thank you so much for having me, Michelle. I've absolutely loved this conversation and I could have spoken all day, as you can probably tell. Yeah, so I call myself a transformational healer and new paradigm business coach to high achieving women. So I can't extract the things I do and like just put them in little buckets. Like I have to fuse everything I do because it just happens. So I obsessed, as you can tell, with spiritual business.
Yep.
So pulling in our astrology and human design, manifestation, all the different things. I call myself a new paradigm because the new paradigm is all about weaving in like energetics into what we're doing and not kind of like the whole like the old corporate patriarchal way of doing things. It's about living life in a different way, living life in line with our human design and astrology. Super passionate about, like I say, about women's health. So what I tend to get is burnout. My favorite humans to work with are burnt out corporate people who want to launch their own business, get the health back in line, or like I say, turning that side hustle into a full-time job. And so I work on all the different things. We work on like self-worth, we work on confidence, we work on health, we work on marketing strategy, because obviously that's a huge part of my background. We work on energetics and manifestation and weaving in the human design astrology. And as you know, because I've taken you through it, I use breath work as one of my healing modalities as well, because so much of our like fears and subconscious things holding us back are stored in the body without us even realizing. And breath work's a really great way to like move all that out. So if I have people with low self-worth, for example, it's like working through that. So yeah, I do a lot of different things, but yeah, high achieving women who just want to like launch their biz or turn side hustle into full-time job whilst looking after their health is basically in a nutshell what it is.
Amazing. And it's good when you're talking about breath work. I remember that session I had with you, and yeah, it was I feel like I had a complete, I wouldn't say out of body experience, but it was the things that I needed to work on around some past things with my family. And it's a family member that's passed away. And the way it all happened, I don't know what you did, but it was literally magical. It was absolutely...
I remember you were taken completely by surprise by what came up. You're like, I've thought this for 15, 20 years, whatever it was. And suddenly I've realized it's this.
Yeah.
And it was, yeah.
And it was like they were coming to me and actually saying something that I never would have thought of them thinking, as if they were saying it was what I needed to peacefully close the door. And not, it's not even close the door, but it's acceptance around everything. And it was in one session that it made that shift. Yeah. And I love the cats as well. How you said always the cats come in.
Yes.
My cat was obsessed. She just kept coming in, and she's normally quite distant, but she was just kept coming in and she was all over it. And I want to say that from working with you, not only did I change my periods and my hormones, which is life-changing in itself, but the confidence, we worked on so much more than I was expecting. I was just expecting to come in and maybe do the nutrition side, and I got so much more from it. There was such good value because I wasn't expecting that, and I'm really really grateful to you, so thank you so much. And I can vouch, honestly, it was life-changing in all the right ways, so thank you very very much. Where can we find you on social media, website?
Yes, so I am lynda.stretton, L-Y-N-D-A, not an I, L-Y-N-D-A, .stretton on Instagram, and the website's just www.lyndastretton.com, and my podcast, you can go and binge listen to Embrace Your Feminine Essence if you like. That's a great podcast. But I did recently launch a brand new one, which is business and marketing focused, called Iconic. But yeah, we'll drop them in the show notes. But yeah, thank you so much for having me, Charlotte, because yeah, my triple Leo queen. She is, Charlotte's like Leo sun, rising and moon. And yeah, you're literally here to shine your light in the world to like be you and being seen. So it's super exciting to see you doing your podcast again.
Thank you. No, thank you so much. I've really, really enjoyed today.
Thank you so much.